Introducing Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB, AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Ted Dixon, CEO and co-founder of InkResearch.ca, Canada's first online financial news and research service, providing insider news and knowledge to investors. His website, CanadianInsider.com, home of the Canadian Insider Club. Welcome back to the show, Ted.
Jim, thanks for having me back, and thanks for everybody tuning in.
Ted, the economic theater certainly has changed for decades. Central bankers were driving all the big economic decisions. Then once COVID hit, the politicians told us, you got to stay home. You're going to have to pay huge fees to stay in hotels that you don't really need to stay in. And now that's raised the stakes for poor economic performance. Liz Truss, Prime Minister of England, has resigned after 45 days. Maybe that head of lettuce they compared her to did outlast her. Joe Biden's finding a lot of pressure. They're not impressed with his economic performance. So what's going to happen here? Will other politicians get squeezed out because of inflation and hard economic times ahead?
Well, I think we have to look at how the stage has been set, Jim. And basically, I think up until March of 2020, it was the central bankers who were on the economic center stage. They ran the show. They did QE. They drove interest rates to zero. Unless you were in Japan or in Europe, then you got to pay the bank to put your money in there. So central bankers were really the only game in town, right? That was a book that came out and was pretty, pretty appropriately titled. But that all changed in March 2020. As some of you may recall, we put this in put this picture in our March October Top 40 report, which has just come out, which we call the Revenge of the Real Economy. So this picture of Bill Morneau, socially distanced at a desk at the press gallery with Stephen Poloz, who both have since moved on from their respective positions, but Morneau was a finance minister and Poloz was a Bank of Canada governor. And that picture, I think, showed a lot because it basically was the passing of the baton from the all-powerful Bank of Canada to the politician, Bill Morneau, the finance minister, who was announcing a major aid package to Canadians, and which was very, very at the time, very well received, I think. Canadians were quite happy to get the support during that uncertain time. And, I mean, I know you can always criticize it in the hindsight in terms of what happened, but, you know, at the time, there was a lot of pressure for the government to do something, and the politicians stepped in, and this wasn't just in Canada, of course, it was around the world. So we really saw the politicians step into the limelight. Great. But when you're the leading actor on stage, if you mess up, you know, it can be a very costly mistake, and Liz Truss found that out big time. Over the last few weeks, and the day we're recording this, so she apparently has resigned. You know, and what was, you know, what did she try to do? Well, basically, when she got elected, she thought, well, we're going to have to help people out here with their electricity bills, but we also want to try and grow the economy. And we're going to try and do that with tax cuts. And yeah, maybe we'll have to increase the deficit a little bit to do that. We haven't quite done the math on that yet. But let's try and juice the economy. Well, bond market didn't particularly like that part of it. And here's what I think happened, at a very high level. You know, she executed poorly. She was a new government, and they just didn't execute well. So this is a problem when you are on center stage. Now, you know, Kwasi Kwarteng, who was the finance minister, resigned last week, but that wasn't enough. I mean, he obviously failed to convince markets that the plan was a good plan. So, you know, you mess up as a politician. Unfortunately, you're right at the front of the stage. You're going to get yanked off. I remember, you know, the cartoon. I think, I don't know if it was Bugs Bunny or what. As a kid, you know, you'd have the crutch. You know, a handle would come and yank you off the yank the character off the stage if things weren't going well. And that's what's happened in the UK, it seems. So, you know, what we've got now is very high stakes for politicians, and they're facing a dilemma. They're facing a dilemma because if you mess up like you did Truss, you're going to get squeezed out by either the market or the central bankers. And, you know, I mean, I think what happened, Andrew Bailey basically said, no, you know, you can't do this. They were an inexperienced government, and basically, in a sense, they got bullied by the central bank and, to some extent, the market. So, you know, it's stakes are high for these politicians right now. And they've got this dilemma, I think, Jim. They've got this dilemma. I think they understand they want to grow the economy, but they don't have a lot of debt room to do it because they've spent so much on programs and they've blown a lot of debt over the past few decades, you know, thanks in part to QE. They felt they could keep running deficits forever. Thank you, Ben Bernanke, Mr. Nobel laureate. But unfortunately, there's the bond market is kind of awakening here, thinking, well, I don't know about that. So this is putting some pressure on governments who try and do that, as we saw in the UK. Well, so here's what also I think happened in the last 2 weeks. The bond market sort of sniffed out, oh, well, the government in the UK is collapsing. That's good. They're not going to be able to implement any of this program stuff, so we can settle down here and move on. Bond yields came down, and that invigorated, and this is what's really important, I think, for market participants, that invigorated this tech stock rally we've seen here in October. And you got this hopium that, you know, it doesn't matter if your stock is trading at you know, PE of 20, 30, 40, 50, price to sales, 5, 10, doesn't matter. You know, we're going back to the good times of last decade because, you know, governments are going to cut back. There's going to be austerity and interest rates are going to fall. And, you know, we've seen the worst of it. Like interest, so this is, you know, I think the impulse, the hopium that the technology and the bond market initially saw, from the trust failure that governments weren't going to be able to juice the economy anymore. And while I am sympathetic to part of that rationale, because I think it does demonstrate that there is some constraints on government from really doing a lot of all the fiscal spending they'd like to, I don't think it's going to allow bond yields come down like those investing in technology stocks, even at these levels, need to see the kind of returns they're hoping for. Because just, you know, on the back of the envelope, you know, equation here, you know, as interest rates go down, technology shares, which, you know, have earnings forecast way out into the future, those earnings become more valuable as long-term interest rates go down. So trust fails. UK bond market yields come down, treasury market yields come down, that's good for technology stocks. Oh, hope, all hope is back. Let's all pile into all these social media stocks and software stocks, and it's back to last decade. Well, not so fast because there's another side of the equation, and that's the supply side. And that is, you know, just because Liz Truss government may not be able to spend as much money as they want, that doesn't fix any of the shortages we're seeing in critical metals and in energy that we'll see. So we're going to continue to have commodity challenges, which will likely put upward pressure on prices. And again, we've got this whole geopolitical mess where we're not only is there a major war, you know, de facto NATO versus Russia? Yes, they know it's not direct NATO versus Russia, but, you know, they've outsourced the conflict to the Ukraine, unfortunately. I mean, that's kind of how I kind of see it, that this is like a very major geopolitical struggle in the Ukraine. It's unfortunate, though, that it's the Ukraine men and women who have to suffer all the damage and all the killing. But, you know, we're sending them lots of armaments and things to kill Russians with. So, you know, it's a bloody mess out there. And I mean, that's literally what's going on. There's a major war going on. So it's kind of hard to fix supply chains when you've got a major war going on. And it's also hard to fix supply chains when the United States and China are at competitive loggerheads over things like semiconductors and a whole host of other issues. So just because governments might want to go back to the, you know, fiscal conservative impulse, they may not be able to fix the inflation problem, and it's certainly not going to help them necessarily win any votes. You know, on the positive side, as interest rates come down, the middle class and upper middle class and upper classes who own assets will benefit, so they'll feel better. But people who, you know, renters and those who are like, you know, on the edge financially and are just, you know, maybe starting out, young people, they're not going to feel any joy from government cutbacks and austerity while inflation's still lingering. So politicians have some very tough choices ahead. And the question is, you know, what will win out? The austerity, the government cutbacks, will inflation come down based off of governments realizing they can't do too much, or have we shifted to a higher inflation environment where really because of a whole host of geopolitical and realities with underinvestment in technology, the real economy, takes center stage and you know, basically resources have to go into rebuilding the real economy. I mean, that's kind of how I kind of see the fork in the road here, you know, what's ahead for markets. You know, if you believe that we're going back to the years of the Tea Party, and, you know, small budget deficits in the United States, fine, you know, then we're going back to, you know, rapid cross-the-board asset real estate inflation, and it'll be party on, just like we did a decade ago. However, one look at sort of the budget projections in the United States from the Congressional Budget Office, it provides quite a different picture on what's ahead for government spending. So my thinking is, and it's aligned with what we're seeing with insiders, is that the real economy is going to dominate over the next decade, despite what governments may want to do. They'll be forced to address some of the issues in the real economy, and it's not going to be cheap.
We'll have more with Ted Dixon right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Ted Dixon. As you said just before the break, the real economy is going to dominate politics for the next decade. How can I make money on that?
Well, I think you have to look at what's going to be in short supply and that the society will need versus what is going to be in plentiful supply, and which, if it's in plentiful supply, even if the economy and investors want it, the price won't go up as much likely because it's in plentiful supply. Well, what is in short supply? Well, we know lithium is in short supply because despite all the pullbacks we've seen in commodities recently, lithium has continued to hit new highs. We will see what happens with critical metals like copper and nickel and the like. Right now, they're facing some headwinds and a correction off of their highs from the spring. There was concerns about COVID and housing in China and housing in the U.S., so they've had some pullbacks, but if one believes in the progression of the energy transition to more electric cars and more electrical wiring and the like, those will be also in short supply. Now, what will be in plentiful supply? Well, I think government bonds will be in plentiful supply, because if you look at what's ahead, like in the United States, even on rosy inflation assumptions of 2.5% per year, you know, the CBO, the chief, the Congressional Budget Office in the U.S. expects deficits to rise, mandatory expenditures to rise, not deficits, mandatory expenditures. So what the government has to spend on programs like Social Security will have to rise by more than $1 trillion on it, like on an annual basis. The annual mandatory spending will have to rise by more than $1 trillion by 2030. Okay, but that's based off of 2.5% inflation. But we just know that Social Security adjustments were increased for 2023 by 8.7%. So, you know, where is all this spending going to be financed? Well, either you believe some politicians in the U.S. are going to get elected by promising tax raises, or they're going to have to go to the bond market. Well, my betting is on the bond market, and I expect that they'll be issuing a lot of treasuries over the next 7 years. There will be no shortage of treasuries. You know, I hear this on Twitter all the time, that there's a treasury shortage, and they're like the quote-unquote collateral shortage. I'm sorry. That is just based off of the past decade, where everyone was levering up and taking big levered bets on any kind of investment scheme they could get their hands on that they think would generate a 1 or 2% return. You would use your treasuries to lever as collateral to lever up. Look, that whole game is changing, right? So what if we're right and that the real economy needs investment, the money will have to go into the ground. The money will have to go into mines. The money will have to go into battery plants. The money will have to go, if you're waging a war against Russia via the Ukraine, it will have to go into building missiles that get used. You know, so this is all money that has to go into investments to provide items that are in short supply. So I think that's where the opportunity lies. I do not believe, and we've been talking about this now for a while, you know, we do not see government debt as being all that attractive over the next 5 to 10 years. I continue to hear investment professionals and strategists recommend bonds, and that bond yields are about to do a big U-turn. Look, maybe we're going to get a correction in bonds. Right now, they're at cycle highs. As we're speaking, you know, the U.S. 10-year is trading over 4.15%. You know, so, look, yes, maybe bonds will come down a bit at some point in the cycle. Look, they'll go up and they'll go down, but the trend, that sort of post-Volcker massive rally in bond prices, fall in yields, that inflated assets and particularly real estate globally, and all, that ride is over. So now it you know, you've got to look at what's in short supply. It doesn't mean every real estate market, by the way, is going to face massive headwinds. But I think it comes down to fundamentals. You are going to play more of a role, right? So in real estate, it's back to location, not just, do you have something available? I'll buy it because it's going to go up. No, it'll be back to fundamentals. Where is the property? And I'm not a real estate expert by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, just those types of things will matter. Not just, I'll buy any condo in this unit, in this new pre-sale because I know these condos are going to go up. You may want to say, well, you know, I can't get the unit I want. Like, oh, look, this is like facing the sun and this is like facing the lane. Maybe I don't want to buy that. You know, those kind of things will become more important. Just as, you know, I think in the stock market, valuations, you know, looking at companies, stock picking, it's all going to become more important to sort out where the opportunities are as we have higher interest rates, because politicians, Jim, are still going to be in the spotlight. Yes, they may get yanked off the stage. They'll be replaced by other politicians. Central bankers are not there, leading the charge, leading the leading the parade to higher asset prices. Politicians are going to have to make tough choices. Where do they allocate? Do they allocate money to a war? Do they allocate money to solar panels? Do they allocate money to pipelines? Those are all political decisions, right? And those will have consequences for investors. Politics matters again, like it or not. It just does. And that's why I'm afraid on these interviews, we're going to have to talk a bit more about politics in the future, but we'll hopefully keep it into, you know, what it means for investors. And right now, I think, you know, the big question is, do we go back to those austerity years? I don't think so. I think the concentration is still going to have to be, how do we as a society, whichever country you're in, whichever country you're investing in, how are they tackling the needs of the real economy?
Yes, and it's interesting, friend of the show, Hilliard Macbeth, pointing out Liz Truss lasted 45 days as British Prime Minister. That's the minimum required to qualify for her full Prime Minister's pension, even though her economic plan originally would have wiped out several pension plans. She looked after her own.
I'm telling you, Jim, pension plans and entitlements are going to be all part of the equation over the next 5 to 10 years. So, yeah, we definitely want to keep our eye on the bond market, but you got to. I'm sure Social Security recipients in the U.S. will be quite happy with their 8.7% raise next year. So we'll see how that trickles through the economy.
Yeah, there's no need to watch Survivor on TV; just watch British politics.
Well, we'll see. What political show takes center stage soon? We do have the midterms in the U.S. coming up, so I think that'll be good for some entertainment very shortly.
Yeah, another round of Survivor. Ted, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks for having me back, Jim.
My guest has been Ted Dixon, CEO and co-founder of InkResearch.ca. Check out his website, CanadianInsider.com. If you have any questions for Ted or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com, our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.